Get your Bibles this morning. We are thankful to God for celebrating or for this holiday that have been put in place. And we've sort of been following up on it for some years now, but just like anything else, it's just another day. So don't beat yourself up. Don't get bent all out of shape. Second Samuel, the 11th chapter, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 and verse 27, and supporting scripture will be from 1 John 2, the second chapter and the 16th verse. The Bible reads in 2 Samuel, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him. And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" Verse 27. "And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." Supporting scripture, 1 John 2 and 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." On the basis of those verses, we'd like to use a thought or subject this morning in the form of a question. Was it love or lust? Was it love or lust? Time is swiftly moving along, and we must take advantage of every opportunity that we get to call on the name of Jesus, to do something good for somebody, to make amends, or to just try to make things better than what they have been in your life. We realize that every one of us go through in our lives for some reason or another, and we got to have something or somebody. And I come to let you know this morning that there's nobody like Jesus. Nobody's going to understand you. Nobody's going to do the things that the Lord God would do for you, because what I love about God is that he don't hold our faults against us. Even though he's displeased with our disobedience, he still does not hold that against us, because he made us for his own special creation, and because we belong to him. His love for us is so great that he's able to do what we say in testimony sometimes, that he looked beyond my fault and bless my very needs. So I'm so thankful to God that I serve a God that is loving enough and merciful enough that will hear our humble cry. And I wonder, is there anybody in the house this morning that have had that time in your life where you realize that I got to get things right with my God? I feel like I'm alienated. I feel like I'm not where I ought to be. And every now and again, the enemy will drain you out and begin to make you feel like that the Lord God has left you. And so you can't allow the enemy to fill your mind with a whole lot of yesterdays. Or sometimes, even though it may have not been yesterday, you may have had a foolish thought this morning. But at the same token, you still could have asked the Lord, "Forgive me for what I thought in my mind." It doesn't take but a second to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And then you just got to trust and believe that he heard you and he will do what you ask him to do. Now, when you're just so convicted that you're afraid or you're ashamed or you're just so scared that God does not hear you, then I'm going to tell you, just keep on praying anyway. Don't never allow nobody or nothing to make you stop trusting God. Because I don't care how bad your situation is, there's someone in a worse condition than you. And if you don't really, if you don't know it right now, God will bring you out of where you are. How many know that God will meet you exactly where you are? Even if you're down in the rut, if you're in a rut and you just can't seemingly get out, God will meet you down in that rut. What I love about my God is that when I'm in the rut, God will extend a helping hand and help me to sort of get myself back up on my feet. Anybody ever been knocked down and had to get back up on your feet and realize that I still got some strength, so I got to keep on keeping on? Don't allow what you go through in life to make you give up hope of what God can do for you. I thank my God this morning for blessing us to be able to come into this place of worship just to glorify and to praise his name. He kept us through another week's journey, and he continues to watch over us and sustain us day by day. And I count it all joy this morning to stand and declare a word, because every day is a day of thanksgiving. For this truly is another day that the Lord God has made. And you don't have to realize that you have a reason to give God thanks or praise. Just thank him anyway. Sometimes we got to have something materialistic or something that makes us feel good or something that we can see that makes us want to tell God, I just thank you for being so good. But there's somebody that even their body is in pain and they're going through, but they're still saying, Lord, you're good. There's somebody this morning that is hungry and don't know where they're going to get their next meal from, but they still have a thought on the inside, God, you are good, because they're believing that somehow, some way, you will feed me when I get hungry. Now, if you don't have, as we celebrate this Valentine's Day, and then we observe the holiday, a day when people all over the nation will show and share their love. Heard Deacon Carter saying earlier this morning, talking about what I was going to talk about, the flowers and the candy and all of the little trinkets that we share with our loved ones, stuffed animals, and all sorts of kindness just to say, I love you. Or just to say that you're special to me, or to say that I was thinking about you. This should be one of those days of joy and peace, a time to look back and say, thank you, Lord, for keeping us during our hard and difficult times. Lord, I thank you that when we were at one another and we just didn't know how to get along, but we went to our own private little corners and prayed about it and just been still for a little while and allowed you to step in and to make everything all right. And now we can come back into the same room and sit down and talk and watch the television together and say, baby, it's all right. You know, everybody go through a little something sometimes. Anybody ever loved somebody and fell out of love because of something silly and got to realize that there's still a time that you got to hold on and hold out. You got to realize that there comes a time that we got to learn how to appreciate one another. We got to remember, acknowledge that it's the small things that count. When we speak of appreciation, we got to communicate and share the good as well as the bad. See, we don't have a problem telling somebody where to get off at, but every now and again, we ought to be willing to just say, I just thank you for being you. You know how it is, that there comes a time when things don't always end to be what it started out to be. You started out with some bliss, and you were just so excited and overwhelmed with love and joy and any and everything that you can do. Every day you were thinking about it. Every day you were calling on the phone. 3 hours later, you're calling again, and I don't know why you got so much to talk about to the same individual, but you get up the next morning, you still want to call it. How you doing this morning? Well, I hadn't been that long left you, so you ought to know that I'm all right, but we just got to have a mindset to know that there comes a time that we got to have a love that's more than just lip service. We got to have a love that does not have strings attached, that the only reason you love me is because of what I do for you. Is there anybody that can just have somebody that love them just because you don't have anything special, you don't have anything to give, you just love somebody? There's somebody this morning, this afternoon, that is not going to be able to get a bouquet of flowers. They're not going to get any candy today. That don't mean no one loves you. You can go out and you look and you can look for this perfect card to say just the very right thing that you wanted to say. And sometimes you run across some cards that got some good stuff in it, but that stuff is not your stuff. So if you can't afford a card, if you want to be really just real, you can camouflage and say, baby, I'm not going to buy you a card. I'm going to tell you how much I love you. And I believe that that would have a little more impact on what somebody else. Helen may have wrote something down, but Helen is not you. You might not be able to put it in the right kind of word that they have in the card, but as long as it's in your words and it's sincere from the heart, then it is appreciated. You know that sometimes you got to just appreciate if somebody got up and fried you an egg this morning. You ought to be able to say, baby, I love you for that egg. And if you'd have put a little cheese in it, I'd have been jumping for joy. We learn how to please one another and how to make one another happy. And that comes a time that you got to know that what's in your heart, you ought to let it come out. You ought to let somebody know that you have the love of God and you love one another. Jesus commands us to love one another as he has loved us. The Bible declared that it said that ye should also love one another. It's been said that love makes the world go round. Anybody know that it's also been said that love is a dangerous thing? Love can get you killed. Love can make you lose your appetite. Love can make you lose your best friend. Love has broke families apart. Love has been in the midst of some situations to where you began to wonder, is it real love or not? We got to understand that there comes a time that when we talk about love, love is so powerful that at times it is unpredictable. And we got to know that if we don't know God, then we don't know love. God is love. So you see, you don't have to be in love to love. Let me help somebody in here. We tend to think that when we don't have anyone to be in love with, that don't nobody love you. But I want you to know that everybody in here ought to be able to say that they got the love of the Lord. And everybody ought to know a little bit of something about love. We ought to know this morning that love will make you feel better down on the inside, because it's good to know that somebody cares. And this is one of those days where you may get texts, you may get emails, you may get a call, and that call is just to say, I was thinking about you, and happy Valentine's Day, and I love you. But just in case you're one of those in here that nobody might not tell you today that they love you, I'm gonna fix that right now. If you don't mind, just take one moment and tell two people that you love them. And don't just say it from the lips, but mean it from the heart. You see what love can do? Love you too, bro. But you see how love just sort of can move from heart to heart and from breast to breast. It wasn't that hard to say I love you. And if you didn't mean it, you the one told a lie. Because you got to learn that just because I said say it, you better do Simon said. If God didn't say it, if you didn't mean it, don't say it. We so caught up in leadership that whatever somebody standing up say, you say. Whatever they say do, you do. You better check yourself. Everything is not for you to say. I've been some places and they say, everybody jump up and do this, and everybody do that, and I'm not going to move. I've been even to some churches where they say, run, grab somebody and get your shout on. I'm not going to move.
Because if the Lord don't move me to go run and shout, then I'm not going to grab nobody. We're talking about love. We're talking about listening. We're talking about not just jumping to every tune or every beat. You better know why you're jumping, because when you get through jumping, you still got to live when you walk outside the door. Let us not be guilty of boasting and doing a lot of talking about what we've done. Just because you did a favor for somebody. If you really did it out of love, let it go. Too many times we do something and we hide behind that four-letter word love and say, I did it because of the love in my heart. Well, if you did it from the love in your heart, get the animosity out of your mind and get the complaining and the boasting and the bragging out of your mind and know that I did what I did because it was in my heart to do it. And I'm not looking for you to just pay me back. All I'm looking for you to do is just be grateful that somebody loves you. We can't allow the enemy to seduce us with enticing things that look good to the eye. Everything that look good is not good. Sometimes you got to understand that outside package might be wrapped up prim and proper. But if there's nothing on the inside to give it substance, then you open up a package that don't have nothing. And nothing from nothing leaves nothing. I don't know all the song, but I'm reminded it just came through my mind that 50-50 love or 60-20 or whatever your percentage is, how much are you going to get? You want somebody else to give you 100%, and there you is, you don't have 10% to give up. Love is fair. And I thought I was going to preach quick. Love will make you have a clear understanding, and you need to understand that when we talk about love, it's more than just a feeling. And we got to have an understanding whether or not we are dealing with love or whether we are caught up in lust. You know, we confuse our wants with our needs. And so in the same token, sometimes we confuse lust with love. We asked the Lord for a whole lot of things, and the Lord God said, I'll give you everything that you need. But then we worry, God, when we've been calling on the Lord for things that we want. You got to have an understanding to know the difference between what you need and what you want. What you need is the Lord. What you want might be somebody, but as long as you got Jesus, then everything is going to be all right. And when you get confused with lust and love, you got to understand that love is the high esteem that God has for his human children and the high regard that they in turn should have for him and other people. Love means to have ardent affections and feelings one for another. But look at lust, a passionate or overwhelming desire or craving for. A physical attraction that has no lasting effect. Lust comes, lust goes, and that's done. Love stays forever. How many of you know that there's somebody that loves you, that you done made them so sick they don't like you, but they still love you? Because you can't change love. I may not get no amen, but I know it was the truth. Lust is just not sexual. Lust is a confusion of love triggered by emotions. All right. So we deal this morning with lust. We deal with love. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this love thing, and I told you that if you want a clear definition of a spiritual definition of love, just read the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and you will find out what the Lord God has to say about love. Now, when you see what God has to say about love, you'll find that there is no love like the love of Jesus. Our supporting text this morning, it warns us about being so prideful and the lust of the eyes. And the Bible declares, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what he's saying is that when you begin to talk about love, don't get so caught up into the things that are going on in the world and with material things that you forget the fact that God is the one that you're supposed to give your alliance to. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, when he speaks of the world, it talks about that old enemy that continues to try to overcloud the minds of the people of God and make them think that he has power. Now, he has power to destroy and to kill, but he can't get you unless you allow him to have you, because you got to learn how to resist the devil and turn the other way. You got to learn how to trust what's in your heart and in your mind and know that God will do what nobody else can do. Now, for that the love of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. See, a lot of times when you see something with your eyes, it entices you to think things in your mind. It could be something just as simple as some food. When you look at that food, and if it don't look good, it don't make you have a desire to taste it. But if it looks good, and how many of you ever looked at some of this what I call the delicacies of food, and it looks so good, and when you taste it, it tastes so nasty. That's why I just love good old country food. It don't have to be pretty. It don't have to be fancy on the plate. I need it to taste like something. But when you look at it with your eyes, you began to think that this is going to be mighty good. Guess that's why I messed up now. All I think about sometime when I stand up is food. I just saw a pan of gravy right before my eyes. My Pearl not here this morning, but she can tell you. If I go over there and there's some beef and some gravy in that casserole, this is my day. This is my day today. It looked good to my eyes. And if you love gravy, you can't wait to get a biscuit. I even like to crumble up some cornbread in my gravy sometimes, because ain't nothing like cornbread juice and gravy. Those things that look good to your eyes make you think that you want it. Now, there are those of us that have been told that your eyes is bigger than your stomach. Am I talking to anybody in here? Everything look good, so you want a little bit of everything, but you got to realize you can't hold but so much. So don't be wasteful. Don't be greedy. That's another thing that the Bible is talking about, is being greedy. Pride of life, thinking that it's all about you and everything that you do is all right, but when you look out of the corner of your eye and everything somebody else do, you destroy them. Bible declared the world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. So if we would learn to do what God said do, if we will love one another like the Lord God told us to love one another, we must live according to God's standards and not our own. Our human nature is sin tamed because of greed and selfish pride. Love not the world and its darkness and worldly things, because they are not of God. Let love not the world in the darkness, and know that those things done in the dark will come to the light. But man must be careful, because lust leads to sin. As we look at our text this morning, we are looking and talking about a man by the name of David. Now, we know that David was known for his courage and his bravery. This is the same David that as a teen slayed and killed the giant Goliath. David was one that was a very handsome man, a strong man, and he was rumored to become king one day. And so now we find that David was one of those kind of guys that everybody wanted a little bit of David. David, when you got it going on, you always got somebody in your corner. There any Davids in here this morning that realize that your popularity exceeds itself? You are the kind of guy that everybody want to get a little closer to. But I come to let you know that you got to know that you got to do things in obedience to the word of God. Bible tells us that David was a king, and David was in a position where he could do anything that he wanted to do. Now David already had some wives, and David already had a lot of money, and David had even a castle. He had any and everything that he already needed. But on this day in the springtime, they tell me that there was going to be a war. And when the battle was going on, David sent Joab out and told him to go out on the battlefield and take the other soldiers with you. But now, the Bible declared that David tarried and stayed there in Jerusalem. Came to pass that in evening time, meaning up in the evening time, David rose up off of his bed, walked out upon the roof of his house. And when he got on the roof, he looked out and he saw that there was a beautiful woman taking a bath on the patio. You got to understand that in that day and time, a lot of the houses had patios on the rooftop. And now you think that when you're living in a mountain area that there's some high elevation and there's some low elevation. So David was in a position where he had a very clear view of things going on other rooftops. Now, is there anybody in here that realized that there comes a time that we don't look and mind our own business? We look out and we see some things, or we thought we saw something, so we go back and take a second look. I believe when David was walking out there, David walked across and looked over across there that way and saw that this beautiful woman was taking a bath. And oh my God, David got all caught up in himself. And David said, oh, look at that beautiful woman. I got to have that woman. The Bible declared that David sent and inquired after the woman. One said this woman was by the name Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. So this was a married woman. Now, this married woman ought to have the decency to go in the house and take a bath. But for whatever reason, she was out on the patio, all out in the open, exposing herself to any and everybody that wanted to look. Now, any man that looked out the window, looked across the yard and see this beautiful woman taking a bath, he may have a wife on the inside of the house, but he gonna hang out there for a little while, get a good view and keep on watching until he look back and make sure ain't nobody coming, and he look again. So now David is caught up because lust done jumped in. You can't call it love because you don't know. How am I going to love you and I don't know you? I love what I see. I could stop right there. I just answered my question. Bible says, David sent for her. She came unto him. laid with him. And the Bible declared that she was purified from her uncleanness and she returned unto her house. Now, David had some principles about himself. David said, I'm not going to mess with an unclean woman, but it don't bother me that you got a husband. It's in the Bible. I was working on it. I said, thank God this is you, Sunday. I know we have a few children in here. But most of our children are made those, so you grown folk know exactly what I'm talking about. Most of us have lusted, lied, and looked out the window at other folks' stuff. You may not have had a patio on the roof. You may not have been able to look at her in the bathroom. But now you don't have to use much imagination because our women walk around half naked anyhow. So how are you going to have a case when you go up there talking about you being raped when you done exposed everything? Is it love or lust? Bible says, after she came to him, she returned and went back home. Won't that tell you something? First place, she had no business over there. Two wrongs don't make a right. I don't even know where this is going to fit in, but I'm going to throw it out there. Had an individual approach me. Said, why is it that when the young girls had the babies, the girl come back to the church and ask for forgiveness, but the man don't? I don't have an answer for them. Don't have one today. But that's the way it is. But now, truth be told, you got a good point. She didn't get pregnant by herself. Now, I will say in some cases, both persons may not be in the same household of faith. So I can't make that man that she laid with come over here and say anything to us because he don't have any responsibility toward our fellowship or our ministry. No way. But what it is out of respect for who you are and for the fact that it is a known fact. All of us have sinned. All of us got some skeletons in the closet. And all of us ought to be honest enough with ourselves to know that some of you just hadn't gotten caught. But at the end of the day, wrong is wrong, and both of them were just as wrong as the other. David was just as wrong as Bathsheba. He didn't have no business sending for her. She didn't have no business coming. So both of them was responsible. But now look here. This woman, out of a lustful situation, conceived, sent word to David, said, David, I'm a child now. Now, some of us said, ain't mine. Come on, bros. If you've been there, then there's a question. So now David realized they were a smart man. They realized, now I ain't have no business with Bathsheba. She done told me she gonna have a baby. Her husband done got back now. All right. Gotta clean this thing up. Bible declared that when they got back off the battlefield, Uriah came and gave his report. Honest and obedient and faithful to David. Said, David, I did everything that I could do out there on the battlefield. But now look at David. knowing the guilt, knowing what he has done. Bible said, David said, go home to your wife. David realized you've been gone too long. You need to go home and take care of some things. Right, said, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be faithful to my leader. Bible declares, David said, Uriah, I really need you to go home. Uriah said, no, I'm not going. Uriah said, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my Lord Joab and the servants of my Lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I go to my house when and have a good time when all of my brothers are still out there? I'm not going home. I can't go home because I can't have no peace at home when there's still war in the land. My brothers are not able to go home and sit down, so I'm going to stay right here where I am. He said, as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. David said to Uriah, you tarry here today. Tomorrow I'm going to let you depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. David called him and he ate and drunk, and he began to feel like he was feeling a little woozy. And even he went out to lie on his bed and the servant of his Lord, but when he went down to his house, came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab. Said, I got another problem. David, Uriah ain't going nowhere. My time is running out. So now, I don't want nobody to know that I done stuck my hand in the cookie jar. When I got my hand in the cookie jar, I pulled up more cookies than I expected to come out. So now I gotta fix this thing, and I need to get away from here. I gotta clean it up. So now I want you to send your ride back out on the battlefield. But then now what I want you to do, I'm gonna send you a little note, because I don't want everybody to know that I'm just that vindictive and I'm that dirty that I'll take my friend and not only lay with his wife, but I'm gonna set him up to die. So he sends a note out there and said, I want you to make sure that Uriah get on the front line. And instead of y'all making sure that y'all help him, get back a little bit to make sure that he loses his life. Found out that he died. Word came back to David. David said, all right, everything's going to be all right now. I know that I've done some wrong. I done had this woman's husband killed. And I know now that her heart is real heavy. But I realize that if I don't marry her quick, fast, and in a hurry, my secret is still going to be out. There's one thing about when the woman get pregnant, you might be able to hide it for a little while. But by and by and after a while, somebody gonna realize that there's a child in her womb. So I found out that David realized that what I gotta do now, I gotta make sure that she knows that everything is gonna be all right. And tell me that when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah had died, she mourned for her husband. But get this, the mourning period. One was 7 days. We shared with some widows that been a widow for I don't know how many years. But in 7 days, after the grief was over, the Bible said when the mourning was past, David sent, fetched her to his house. She became his wife and bear him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Was it love or lust?